Not only has he cheated his brother Esau out of his birthright and has stolen their father's deathbed blessing, pushing Esau to the end of his tether, Jacob has offended God. He has lied to his father, and he has taken God's name in vain, insisting to Isaac, his father, that he is Esau, back from hunting so quickly because God has blessed him with success. Our Old Testament story this morning opens with Jacob fleeing in fear of his life from his home, from his brother Esau. He takes his mum's Rebekah's advice and sets off to seek refuge and a new life with his uncle Laban. En route to Haran, where Laban lives, he arrives at a place which he would later name Bethel, meaning house of God. He settles down for the night, taking a stone as a pillow. Then, through a dream, we are told, according to Roger Stubbings, a dream that is pregnant with supernatural meaning, God's gracious promises are revealed to him. The gates of heaven are opened, and heaven's linkage with earth is, in vividly pictorial fashion, Stubbings writes, seen as a ladder, with angels ascending and descending. But while the vision and the meaning of this vision is ambiguous, the message is clear. As Thomas Werenberry says, a trickster and a supplanter, a real rascal, Jacob has been chosen to further the divine purpose. Jacob has used his wits and cunning to advance his own cause. And now they are being challenged to be put into God's service. Jacob hears God make the same promises to him as God made to Abraham and to Isaac. Promises of offspring and land. I am the Lord, the God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. And your offspring will be like the dust of the earth. And you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Jacob then marks this place as sacred by raising the stone he had used as a pillow the night before to create a pillar and covers it with oil. But then, as Professor William Holliday observes, he proceeds to do what Abraham and Isaac did not dare to do. In this awesome moment, when God meets him face to face, he responds by bargaining. If God looks after him, then the Lord Yahweh will be his God. Werenbe elucidates Holliday's point. Awe cannot cancel the habits of a lifetime. In other words, a leopard doesn't change its spots. The man who has always lived by his wits now seeks to strike a bargain. And to the God who made gracious and unconditional promises, Jacob makes a very guarded and a conditional vow. If you deliver, I will serve. from the very beginning, even before this man was born, it is clear that he is a wrestler and a supplanter, a trickster, a rascal, ready and willing to do what it takes to get what he wants out of his life. And today we find him bargaining even with God. After, if we recall, offending God. Clearly, this person lacks a sense of history, lacks even a sense of self-awareness, unaware of the damage that he can do to other people and the community around him. But just before we completely vilify Jacob, Professor Marlon McCord Adams notes this. Human life as we know it is a mixture of good and bad. It is a mixture of virtue and vice, of faithfulness and of treachery. It is a mixture of fruitfulness and of abortion, she says, of creativity. Creativity that is fostered, creativity that is forfeited, and creativity that is perverted. We all have the potential to do good and to do bad. Jacob's story helps us clarify that gospel reading of the wheat and the weeds. They are sown together in every human heart, just as they are sown in that same field in our parable. Usually it is not the case that someone has a monopoly on either. Good and bad, virtue and vice, faithfulness and treachery, fruitfulness and destruction, creativity and potential all grow and mature together, just like the weeds and the wheat do in our parable. Often is it not the case that we are a mixture of good and maybe not so good intentions, of virtuous and maybe unvirtuous behavior? We know, humanity tells us time and time again in our history, that we have the potential for good, but also the potential for horrendous evil. We have the potential for success, the potential for failure, the potential to send people into outer space, the potential to destroy the space that we live in. But Werenbe assures us when he writes this, the good news is that God is patient and does not despair or become disillusioned. God will be faithful even when doubt and timidity overshadow human faith. And what is more, as Holiday notes, the story of Jacob tells us that God understands our impulses, but yet is willing to stay with us in spite of them. In other words, God is willing to stay with us, weeds and all. God's promises of long ago are still promises to each of us gathered here. As McCord Adams puts it, Jacob's ladder dream, the stairway to heaven, and Matthew's parable in the gospel insist that blessing trumps blasphemy. Blessing always overcomes blasphemy. God's blessing overrides Jacob's wrongdoing, because God is not aloof, but God is Emmanuel, God with us. God keeping and looking after us wherever we go. That made Jacob, that rascal, into somebody who was claimed by God, in a beautiful phrase by Adams, McCord Adams, claimed by God as the stuff of divine purpose, the stuff of divine purpose. And likewise, McCord Adams states, whether we are striding forth in the power of the Spirit or have gone perversely off course, whether we enjoy good working relationships or are caught in the gears of dysfunctional institutions, we can have the confidence that neither we nor our tormentors are out of control, because nothing can snatch us from God's hand. And this is because, irrespective of that relationship between the wheat and the weeds within each of us, or within our families, that relationship between the wheat and the weeds within our communities, or indeed our institutions, or corporate structures, none of us is ultimately out of God's reach. We are all called to be the stuff of divine purpose. And to encourage us, Alan McCaffrey reminds us of the promise of presence that was given by God to Jacob. God promised Jacob presence by saying this: know that I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. This is a world full of questions, and it's difficult often to find answers. But we are assured God is present above and before us in times of light and dark, in the grandness of a mountain, the intricacy of a flower, as McCaffrey says. A God present where love is shared, present where war occurs, where oppression and hate, evil and suffering challenge us profoundly. God is present. God is present with us in a world where the weeds and the wheat grow together. They are entangled, braided together. But this is a world where we are all promised a harvest of God's unbounded and unconditional love. May it be so, because it is to Father, to Son, and to Holy Spirit that we give praise and glory both today and indeed forevermore. Amen.